Good to see you this morning. Monday through Friday, I'm a service manager for a construction company, and then on Sundays I dress up and come here. This summer, I was power washing somebody's boat pier, and when I do that, I wear flip-flops because I don't want to get my shoes soaked, but you got to be careful when you're running a 4,000 PSI power washer not to rake that across your toes. Because that's quite uncomfortable when that happens. I know that from experience. So I was out there power washing, and I thought, how frail am I as a human that water can hurt my feet, can cut me, can cause me severely physical harm? And I'm washing. I said, you know what? God can't get hurt by a power washer. He's so much bigger than I am. So I tried it, not disrespectfully, but I just put it up and did a little squeeze, and it was no problem at all. Here to report that he was not hurt in any way, and if you were to zoom out on Google Earth just a little bit, it wouldn't take much before that pier would be unable to see me on the pier, the power washer on the pier itself. Pan out a little more, you can't see the lake, you can't see the house. A little more, you can't see Indiana, much less America, much less the earth. And if you pan out to the universe, you would see the universe and perhaps maybe something dark underneath it, and you'd say, what's that? And, oh, that's God's hand holding the entire universe. My question this morning is, why would the God who holds the universe put himself in a little 5 or 6 foot, maybe 200-pound body and become susceptible to pain, to injury, to conflict? Why would he do that? He's the God of the universe. Why would God the Son take on little flesh like us? It actually sounds ridiculous to think that Almighty God would put himself in a body and bring himself to this place where there's sin and suffering and pain and nastiness. So to find the answer, I had to go to the Bible because my opinions won't do you any good this morning. And out of a lot of reasons why, I narrowed it down to 3 main reasons with subpoints, so it kind of turns into 12, but we'll call it 3 reasons why God the Son became a man. First off, it was for his own glory. God, the creator of the universe, planned Christ as a man being our sacrifice before he even formed the earth. Peter says, Christ, a lamb without blemish, was foreordained before the foundation of the earth. And Paul says to Titus, God who cannot lie promised eternal life before the world began. So in a sense, salvation is bigger than even the creation of this earth. It was God's plan. The fall of man, Adam's sin, did not take God by surprise. Salvation was not plan B. Salvation was plan A. God created the world and ordained to take on the body of a man. He did it to reveal himself to mankind. John says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God, living among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everything he said was true. Everything he said and did was truth, interwoven with kindness and grace and love, showing us in a real physical sense who God is. Because Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if you want to know what God is like, read the Gospels. Whatever Jesus said, that's what God says. Whatever Jesus did, whatever he thought, that is what God thought. How kind of God to reveal himself to us. We don't deserve that. We could have just lived our life, never have had any knowledge of God, and he would be just and righteous. But for his glory, he revealed himself to us, and he showed us his righteousness. It's impossible for us to know what true righteousness is apart from Jesus Christ. We have our own self-righteousness, but it's tainted by our own selfish motives. How many times are we nice to somebody because of the benefit that it gives us? How many times do we think in a situation, how is this going to work out best for me in the end? God has a perfect, holy standard, and Jesus Christ reveals that standard in his righteousness. Jesus is inherently righteous because he's God, of course. Jesus is holy. But Jesus came to this earth and he lived out that holiness in a human body. So he was up against temptation, he was up against annoying people, he was up against frustrations, and every time, he did the right thing. It was not just a positional righteousness, this is who I am, this is righteousness in action. So there's nothing that we faced that Christ didn't face and completely fulfill in the righteousness of God. Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. If that's all Christ had done, though, if all he had done was come to this earth, show us God's righteousness, and then go back to heaven, where would we be? I'm not righteous. You're perfectly righteous. Thank you for the demonstration. How does that fix me? I need to be fixed. And you need to be fixed. Okay, no offense. Well, maybe offense, okay? We need to be fixed. So is there more than just God showing us himself why Christ came to the earth? Yes, it is. He came to the earth to be a substitute for us, to stand in our place. He took our place, he became our substitute for the curse that we inherited from Adam. When Adam sinned, the Bible says that sin passed upon all men from Adam, came into the world through him, and now, as we're born, we inherit the curse from Adam. We inherit sickness, we inherit death, we inherit natural disasters, we inherit pain, we inherit frustration. All this curse that God righteously put on humankind for our sin, we inherit. But God does not just look from heaven and see cursed mankind and say, well, they're getting what they deserve, which is true. He came and in his holiness put himself under the effects of his own curse. Not for anything he did, because he's righteous. But he put himself under the curse. Galatians says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. If you have ever gotten accused of something you didn't do, which is also the same as if you have a brother or sister, okay? If you've ever gotten accused of something you didn't do, how does that make you feel? Okay, really bad words come to mind. Okay? Imagine Christ never sinning, perfect holiness, putting himself under the penalty of the curse as though he had been Hitler or a rapist or a murderer. And he'd done nothing wrong, but he's taking on the curse of humanity. He took our place for God's righteous anger. Romans says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You may think that you disagree with the concept of the wrath or the anger of God, but you don't disagree with the concept of the wrath or anger of God because you watch or read or look up online the news and current events. And when you see someone abused or you see someone molested or crushed, there wells up within you a righteous anger towards that sin. And if not, you're really messed up. In all of us, we say, that's not right. Something has to be done. Justice has to be served. God feels that way universally for all sin. Our problem isn't that we don't like righteous anger. Our problem is we don't want that directed against us. Everybody else is bad, but he's going to somehow make my sin not really sin. But if we're honest, we all deserve the righteous anger of God for what we've done. No matter where it is on the scale, in God's eyes, sin has to be punished, or he's unjust. He has to deal with sin, or he's an unjust judge. The beauty of him becoming a man is that Romans says, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So on the cross, Christ took the full measure of the wrath of God. All of God's wrath for all sin was upon Christ on the cross. And he hadn't done a single thing wrong. He took our sin and our death. 2 Corinthians says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. What a dirty, horrible feeling. He'd never known guilt, never known shame, never known regret. And on that cross, he felt dirty because he took our sin. Why? Well, the second half of that verse, that we, the little human people, might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here's Christ, who's completely righteous, never sinned. Here's me, who's completely sinful, never righteous. Even my righteousness don't count because they're for selfish motives. And he became my sin to offer me his righteousness as a free, for me, trade that cost him his life, that he came down and took on. Hebrews says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Right now, I want to ask you, do you have your sin on you, or do you have the free righteousness of Christ on you? When God sees you right now, does he see Christ's righteousness given to your account by your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you still are holding on to your sin, what good is it doing you? I know sin. I'm a sinner. It's only fun for a little while, and then it's a lot of mess. Why are you hanging on to that? Why not repent, come to the cross, and say, Jesus, save me. Take my sin. He's offering it to you today. I'll just take it. I'll take your guilt. I'll take your shame. All that. I know it. I know it. I took it. Let me count my righteousness for you today. Let me take your sin today and give you my righteousness, give you my peace. That's why he came. Don't resist that. Don't turn from that. The God of the universe loved you enough to take on a body like this and suffer and die a nasty death on the cross for you. He had it planned before the foundation of the earth. He knew you were going to be here. He knows everything about you. And he died for you. He came to earth for his glory. He came to earth to be our substitute. He came to earth for you and for me to purchase us for himself. The Bible uses the word picture of a bride, and Christ is the husband. Ephesians says that Christ also loved the church. Not this building, not necessarily just the people here. Christ loved those who received him, the church, his people, and gave himself for it that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. He wants to redeem you, buy you back, clean you up, and present you to himself as his beautiful bride. So there's hope for all of us as we look around that someday, miracle of all miracles, we're going to be glorious. Not yet. Definitely not yet. But that's his plan. That's his desire. He came to get a bride. He took on flesh to redeem mankind and buy us to himself. To have union with him. He came to identify with our weaknesses. Isaiah said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The word omniscience means all-knowing. And we accredit that to God. We learn about that in the Bible, that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. So God knows what it means to be hurt and pain and sickness because of his omniscience. But when he became a man, he experienced that. Does God know what it means to be tired? Well, yes, in theory, I know what it means to be tired because I'm omniscient. But I really know what it means to be tired because I became a man. I know what it means to have people who don't like me because I was there. I know what it means to see people I love in pain and die because I was there. I know what it means to have a body that hurts really bad because I was there. As a believer in Christ, once we're united with him, as we continue this struggle on earth until we get to heaven, when we talk to him, he says, I know. I know. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He came to this earth to redeem us and to identify with us. And then finally, to give us glorified bodies like his someday that will be with him, united with him forever. Because this body is going to go in a box and it's going to get buried and it's going to be out in the field somewhere. And my spirit will live forever with Christ. And someday, he's going to make me a new body. And it's going to be really cool. And it's going to be a body like Jesus has. Philippians says that he shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And when Jesus was on this earth, he prayed, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. If God were to show up right here and show me his glory, this body couldn't take it. I would either die or just turn into ashes. The full strength glory of the God of the universe I'm going to get to see and be united with forever in a body, and an infinite God who I will get to know for all eternity, over and over and over, learning about God, enjoying God day after day, a new and exciting thing about the infinite God every day for all eternity. Peace, joy, love, absence of all sin, in the presence of God. That's what he came to offer. Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Do you have Jesus this morning? Are you united with God the Son, who took on a body and died and rose again for you? If not, you're empty. And nothing you can put in it that's temporal can fill a void that's built for an infinite God. And if you're a believer, you have Christ. You have Christ who bought you. You have Christ who knows you, who experienced what you're experiencing. So today, we love Christ. We worship Christ, the Almighty God who put himself in a human body. We celebrate at Christmas because he loves us. There's no other word than love for him to come down for us.